This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of Invest Talk. It's January 26, 2015, last week of the month, And I do believe we're about flat for the month. Flat. Not up or down, which tells us the market doesn't know which way to go at this point. So welcome, everybody. Welcome all the radio listeners, streaming, InvestTalk.com listeners, and, of course, all the podcasters. I thank you for spending this hour with me. I know podcasters listen to me anytime they feel like it. Well, whatever hour you're listening, thanks. Appreciate it. And I hope we can all learn from something from each other. That's why this is a call-in show. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us during this hour. You can do it anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But we're live now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, so 888-99-CHART is always the number. But you can get me live right now. We start a new week, and again, as I said, this is the last one in January. And we wrapped up the past one with our premium newsletter subscribers. It comes out every Friday. And I write, it's like 3 or 4 page newsletter every week. And I always start off with the current market conditions, and I summarize last week I summarized a fairly slow week on the economic numbers front, allowing the market to begin to move based on earnings. And it also moves on political situations around the world last week. Earnings have been kind of mixed. We are in the middle of the earnings season, really getting hot and heavy last week and this week. And last week's numbers, there were some good numbers, there were some bad numbers. It was kind of, there was kind of a mixed week. And as I look at the forecast by a lot of the CEOs, many of them are not, they're not down. I don't want to say that, but they're not as upbeat as you would think with the economy, so quote unquote, growing nicely. They're not that upbeat about it in general. Of course, there are stocks. It looks like it's going to be a stock picker year. The better you are picking stocks, the better off you'll be, because it's just going to be tough. I don't know. We'll have to see how the year goes, but because the CEOs are just, they're not that optimistic in general. So that, I talk about that. I talked about the ECB and the, their huge $1 trillion QE that they're going to embark on for the next year. And what effect that's going to have? There's money being flooded in the market. It's going to go somewhere, isn't it? Just like our QE. It went somewhere. Where did it go? It went into the market here in the United States. What about the European money? Where's that going to go? You think it's going to go into Europe? See, I think they have a false sense of hope there. I don't know if that's going to happen. The stock ideas, I gave a couple of funds to look at. Portfolio management, I talked about. This is in the newsletter. It comes out every Friday. Talked about volatility whipping investors' emotions every which way, and to start maybe focus on the fundamentals of the companies you're buying. Don't be so concerned about everything else. Look at the strength of the company and what a stronger dollar will do, what a QE out of Europe will do to your company that you're investing in. All that kind of stuff. And anyways, I also, I talked about a little bit about deflation. I'm saying that deflation has a little bit of danger out there of us falling into deflation, more so in Europe than here in the United States, but we could fall in deflation. I think the chances are not big or not great, but they're there, and they're getting a little bit better as we're going forward. Look at the prices of all oil. Start there. Then look at other. Look at copper. Look at different commodities. But then again, gold has gone up. Shouldn't gold be going down if the dollar's been going up? That's how it normally reacts. Dollar's going up. Gold's going up with it. Just all that stuff I talk about in the newsletter. You can get it for $9.95 a month if you want to. You can buy 1 month at a time, and you can cancel anytime you want. Pretty easy. Just go to investtalk.com to sign up. So what questions do you want to answer today? Let's get to the phone. We can do it now. Get your voice in the mix. Here's a call from our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is the number. It's ready to catch your question anytime.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Pete from sunny Vegas. The question I have is as follows. I basically have 60% of all of my IRA in 10 different ETFs. They tend to be Vanguard ETFs. I'm comfortable with them. As the market dips on any individual ETF, I buy more of it. The question is, I don't have any bonds. I am not comfortable with bonds. Maybe I don't understand them. But the question I have is, in the bond portion, only the bond portion, what can one expect to make? In other words, I know in the equities portion, it's probably 8 to 10%. But in the bond portion, don't go back 20, 30 years, because I realize that's based on the interest rate. But what have your clients made in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years just in the bond portion, only the bond portion? Again, this is Pete signing off. I hope you understand the question. Love your show, guys. Listen to it every single day. Wouldn't miss it for anything. Take care. Have a nice day, guys. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
So in individual bonds, when you buy them, and you buy high quality, not junk, triple B plus or higher, you can expect between 3 and 5% yield. And you hold the bonds to maturity, and that's what you're going to get in this environment we're in today. Now, if you go back 10 years, 15 years, and look at the returns of bonds, it's much better than that. But that was during a period where interest rates were coming down the whole time. Okay, now that if the interest rates continue to fall, which is a possibility, you know, they can go negative even, bond values will go up and you'll get a little bit more than 3 to 5%. But if you're just buying the bonds and hold them maturity and you're talking about high quality bonds, corporate bonds, then you're looking at 3 to 5% per year for the next few years. Now, can you get a better bond than that? Sure, you can. You can find some paying more. I mean, we bought one bond just recently that is paying, 8%? You can find them, but they're few and far between. We're talking about average return on the bond. If you buy a bond fund, a mutual fund or ETF, that's about what yield you can expect. Now, the value of the bond fund can go up and down, so you don't know what the overall return is, depending on what direction interest rates go and how long the maturity length is in the bond fund. It drives it up and down. Bonds are not simple. They're not as simple as a stock in many ways. They're a little bit more complex in how they move and what moves them up and down in value. But if you keep it simple and buy the bond and hold it to maturity, you'll know what you'll get exactly. You know, that's the good part about bonds. Okay, for investors who are putting new money to work and don't mind some short-term volatility along the way, you can do some contrarian ideas. Contrarian ideas for 2015. It's going to be one of our talking points today. What are some contrarian ideas? Two come up right at the top of my head, and we're going to talk about that. Also, have you been watching? Apple's going to come out with its earnings tomorrow, and I'm going to be interested about Apple Pay, which they're, you know, paying for things using your phone. And I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. What does it look like it's going? It's only been around 3 months. So what's happening? Greek had their elections yesterday, and their far-left group, anti-austerity group, won big time. What's that going to mean for the EU? Does it even matter? We'll talk about that. Europe and the U.S. are threatening Russia with new sanctions. Have you been noticing what's going on in that part of the world? And, you know, with the Ukraine? Hasn't been on the news, but there's lots of things going on. And Morningstar's five-point retirement checkup. I'm going to talk about a few of those 5 points, not all of them. What are they talking about? And it's really a theme that I've been pushing for some time. For instance, number one, don't spend too much money. Don't spend more than you make. And in retirement, same thing is true. Let's talk about that a little bit more by the end of the show. Hopefully we can get to it. The stock market was down a little bit, up a little bit, and ended up being up a little bit for the day. The Dow was up 6 points, and the NASDAQ 14, and S&P up 5. But it was up and down, and it was kind of a nothing day. I'm not sure there was nothing to drive it up or down that came out that I saw. I thought the Greek thing might be some kind of driver, but I'm getting the feeling that it's almost like, well, Greek doesn't matter anymore. Remember just a few years ago, anything happening in Greek, man, that market would just go crazy. What was going on with in Greece? Because they thought, oh, the EU is going to fall apart. I don't think anybody believes that anymore. Even if Greece pulls out, but no one believes that either. And no one believes that they're going to stop paying their debts either. Yeah, I mean, even though, anyways, it's kind of interesting. So I don't know if Greek matters anymore. So the market just kind of ho-hum on the Greek elections from yesterday. But I think we should take a look at it. And as I said, we're going to take a little closer look at that if we can. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. If you're looking for a money management solution, I invite you to take a look at our Select Growth Income Programs. You know, we have both income programs for individual stocks and bonds, and we have an income program for mutual funds as well. We like it because it has lots of flexibility and lots of strength and diversity. You can find more about it on our website at investtalk.com. 88.99 chart, contrarian investment ideas for 2015. The two that come to mind almost immediately in my mind are the sectors that everybody hates and are, you know, have been beat up. Number one, of course, would be oil, and that's going to be the topic of our conference here in a couple, not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after that, up in the Bay Area. So, you know, that comes to mind. Another one that is actually been doing well for the month of January, but for 2 years plus, is precious metals. No one likes precious metals. Do you know what contrarian investing means? Excuse me. It means you invest on things that everybody else is dumping or hates, with the idea that after everybody hates it, it has bottomed out and it will start moving up again. And generally that is true. And the question is always, how long is it going to take? And it's very difficult to guess where the bottom is of anything. Where is the bottom? All you can really tell is that everybody doesn't like it now. Okay, because it's been going down, down, down in price. And so you say, okay, well, wait a minute. If everybody doesn't like it now, when at the point where it becomes so cheap that it looks attractive value-wise? And that's, you know, value investing. That's a part of that. And oil is easy because you look at the price of barrel oil and then you go look at the stocks that are in that industry. And if the price of barrel oil, you know, it's what, $47? I didn't remember seeing it today. and is that the low? I've read once last week it was going to go as low as $20 a barrel. And I read today it can go as high as $200 a barrel. Well, that's a pretty wide range. Right, so is it at the bottom? That's really what you want to know. We want to hear your questions. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach us right now with your money topic or anything to do with investing. Are you shopping for a mortgage or a refinancing? Your credit score count can be very important, your credit score. You save a lot of money or lose a lot of money. Coming up on Invest Talk Personal.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing. When you become an InvestTalk insider, you gain access to some informational extras, like a list of commodity ETFs that allow investors to gain exposure to various areas of the commodity industry. You can sign up for this. It's free. It's an InvestTalk insider program on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Dan in San Mateo. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I had a quick question for you.
Sure.
I often hear yourself or Justin or someone on a financial radio show, when someone calls in about a stock, often the recommendation is, well, maybe it's a little expensive, maybe by a couple of dollars or something like that.
Yes.
And my thought was, you know, often you'll say something like, I would buy it at 20 when it's at 24.
Right.
What about instead of, and I was just having this thought, what about instead of waiting for it to go down, go ahead and buy the stock and sell an in-the-money covered call, and that way, if it does go down, great, you own it at a lower price. If it doesn't, you catch the premium while you wait. I mean, is that a reasonable strategy to kind of sell in-the-money covered calls while you wait for something you want to own anyway?
Yes, it's very reasonable. A lot of people do that. A lot of people that have no options do that. And a lot of technicians do that. They don't just buy it at the price. If they want to own the stock, but they feel more comfortable buying it at a lower price, they will do that. I've seen it happen many, many times. Yes, that's a reasonable strategy.
Okay.
So, as long as you're comfortable owning the stock, because it can go down, you could be, you know, then you pick up the stock, but then it can go down more. So you want to make sure you're comfortable owning that stock. That's the stock you want, and that's the price you want to buy it at.
Okay, I'm just curious, because usually the recommendation is I would buy it at a lower price. I mean, not you only. I mean, everyone, Justin, and other really intelligent financial advisors say that. Mm-hmm. I wonder why they never recommend, well, I'd buy it at 24 and sell a call at 20, you know, something like that.
Well,
I wonder why that's never given out.
The reason why they don't do it is because now we have to get into explaining what options are, and it gets more confusing. And the average person doesn't want to hear it. Not that the money manager doesn't think it's a good idea. It's just that, remember, it's a radio show, so you got to keep it fairly simple.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks
appreciate that. Yeah, you try not to talk over people's head. You want to answer the questions simply, so everybody, you know, if you start doing, well, why don't you do a option straddle strategy here? Why not, on this, it gets very complex and not for the average person. Let's go to Rob in Pleasanton. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
I have a question for you regarding First Solar. What do you think about the stock at current price? And I'm planning to hold it. If one is that it's a good idea to buy the stock, and second is if one has to buy the stock and plan to hold it for 2-3 years, what's your view on that?
I think it's first. Okay, First Solar, everybody. FSLR, it's a symbol. It manufactures and sells solar modulars for residential and commercial markets in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. And this is part of a contrarian play, Rob, you know, because everybody has sold off all these solar companies and alternative energy companies. And the reason being is oil has dropped so low that it makes it much cheaper. So the thinking is, well, that means solar is already expensive and is even more expensive in relationship to that. So I don't want to own those stocks. That's the thinking. Now, First Solar is not going away. I mean, it's a $4.4 billion company. It does, you know, half of $500 million to $1 billion a quarter. And one of the problems you have with First Solar is that the sales are pretty erratic. I mean, last quarter it was $544 million in sales. The most recent quarter just reported is $880 million. A year ago is 1.2. You see, so it's kind of erratic in its sales, but it's a good, solid company. It's going to make the earnings are going to go down by 37% in 2014 earnings. We haven't got them yet, so we don't know, but that's about what the estimate is. Down 37%. But next year, it's going to be up 60% higher earnings. So I think you're looking at First Solar near its bottom. This looks like where it's going to try to find support. It's bounced off $40, okay? So it looks like this be the place you want to buy it, somewhere in this range. And if you're in it for the longer term, Rob, I think this would be a good place to buy it. If oil starts to go back up, this stock will go back up.
So, Steve, I am not able to follow what's the relationship between solar and oil.
But solar energy is energy produced by the sun, and it's expensive energy. It's not cheap. Okay, so when someone puts solar panels or going to use that, they're relating to, well, how much would it cost me to heat my house with natural gas or electricity or my factory using electricity or natural gas? When the prices of natural gas and electricity, which is related to oil, goes down, solar energy doesn't look as attractive as an investment in your home or your factory because you can get cheaper energy with electricity or natural gas. That's the relationship. So when oil goes down, natural gas usually goes with it. Everybody thinks that solar energy companies are not the best to own. It's that simple. Okay, thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
S&P downgrades Russia's sovereign credit rating to junk. Did you see that? I wrote that down. I wanted to mention that today. That's one of the headlines from our news feed section on the homepage of investtalk.com. Is that something you'd like to talk about? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us. You can do it right now here on Invest Talk.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk.
Apple Pay is 3 months old. Remember it came out with the new iPhones? And we know that the bigger iPhone, is selling like hotcakes, much better than everybody expected. And Apple's coming out with its earnings tomorrow. But I want to talk about Apple Pay. Apple Pay, to me, is the one thing that could really be a game changer if it is successful. A game changer for Apple. Okay? And so I've been trying to keep tracks on how it's doing. There's about 200,000 locations in which you can pay by using your phone. And there's been hints that it's gaining traction. Now, there's been mobile wallets kinds of things before, and no one ever used them. The consumers never wanted them, never liked them. But Apple has this cachet about it that everybody wants to use their stuff. And since earnings are coming out tomorrow, we might get a hint on how well that is taken up. And have you seen the commercials on TV? You know, different commercials on different products and about Apple Pay. They're it's like McDonald's or something. They talk about Apple Pay. So if Apple can get the vendors to talk about it in their commercials, it will be huge. I think it'll be a huge earner for Apple if it gains more and more and more traction. And that's really the key. How much traction is it going to gain? No one really knows. I don't, but I'm upbeat about it because I think Apple's very good about marketing these kinds of things. The marketing's always been excellent. And the consumers have to have an idea, why do I need to use that for? Well, young people, you and I are who are 50s and 60s, we probably don't see a lot of benefit, but young people like the idea. They're not in love or attached to their credit cards like we are, credit or debit cards. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us with your question. It's any time number on the line. Anytime you have a question, you can call. We'll answer the question on the next program.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I am curious in your opinion on what a valid entry point for Google would be, G-O-O-G-L. This is for a long-term investment in my Roth IRA. I know that purchasing it here, eventually it would go up, but I still want to be wise in my entry point. Thank you very much.
And that is true. Eventually Google is going to go up. And actually, I think around $500 has been ideal, but around $520 is also ideal. Right now it's $536. It went to $500 and popped up. It's done that twice in about a month and a half, $500, popped back up. So now we've got an area where we think it's going to hold, and that's between 500 and 535. Somewhere in there is the best place to buy this. They're going to make $29.86 next year, and that's a 16% increase from this year, from 2014, I should say. So $29.86 for this year, 2015, after $25.77 last year. Okay, so the number, $30 a share, $500 stock, okay, that's not that bad of a price for something that's still growing 20% in sales every quarter and being consistent about it. Return on equity is 19%. They have no debt. I kind of like it in this price range. It seems like a reasonable price range to me. So, and if you're a long-term holder, you're never going to pick the bottom, but this is a reasonable price for Google, my personal opinion. Okay. It's time for InvestTalk Personal, about the day-to-day money choices that can impact our lives, your lives, everybody's lives for years and years to come. Is your credit score ready for mortgage shopping? Many of us are confused about how credit scores are determined. The current landscape is very appealing for consumers who have solid credit scores and can put down a substantial down payment. You're going to get a really good rate, right? Your mortgage rate. So you need to check out your credit score. First step is to check it out. There's free ways to do it. You don't have to, you don't have to pay for it. Next, click on your credit reports and check it out for errors and fraud. Make sure it's clean. The National Consumer Law Center says 25% of consumer credit reports contain errors, significant enough to cause a denial of credit. Okay, that's big. Now, how do you improve your credit scores? You pay your bills on time, reduce your use of credit cards as much as possible. Your payment history, by the way, amounts for about 65% of your credit score. 65% based on your payment history. Try not to screw that up. Build up your savings. Put a bigger down payment. You know I'm death on mortgages in retirement, and I don't want you to buy more house than you can really afford. Do you know the rule of thumb on that? How much can you afford on the monthly payment? About a third of your income. Anything above that, you're buying more house than you can really afford. And finally, think about credit cards. They are the most efficient credit building tools available to consumers. I use credit cards all the time. I just don't carry any debt month to month. But I use a credit card. Think about doing that. That builds credit. Builds good credit score, and you don't carry on debt you're paying huge interest on. And that's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have a topic you'd like for me to cover? Just let me know. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
It could be the most enlightening 5 minutes you'll spend this year. Use our risk analysis tool. It'll help you gauge your risk tolerance. And it could be the first step in a retirement portfolio remake. It's free, and it's right here on InvestTalk.com.
Yeah, my name is Eric from Tennessee, and I really appreciate your show. My question is for Southwest Airlines, symbol LUV. I'd like to know your analysis on what you think the holding looks like short term for the next probably 1 to 2 years. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
I don't like airlines. Never liked airlines. Will never like airlines in the future as an investment, just so you know. You might ask me why, and the reason is too many things impact them. The price of the plane, too many unions that can go on strike. The price of fuel. And it has nothing to do with how well the airline is run, or things can happen to them that has nothing to do with them. And I don't like, there's too many of those variables in my personal opinion. Now, Southwest Airlines, symbol LUV, provides predominantly point-to-point, high-frequency, short-haul domestic airline, and is very well-run airline, and it's pretty darn profitable. Okay, they are trading at $46.40 right now. They're going to make $3.42 this year. That's a 70% increase from last year. And then up another 5% in 2016. So $3.60 in 2016, and it's a $46 stock. Okay, so that's not an unreasonable price. Airlines generally don't trade at very high multiples. They generally trade at very low multiples or low. But Southwest has been one of the better-run airlines for many, many years, and the Southwest, has been trading at an elevated multiple to their peers. And right now, their five-year average is 13 to 30 on the multiple, and that means the stock is fairly inexpensive based on next year's earnings. But then you look at a chart, and you say, hey, this stock has done nothing but go up for a year. I mean, it was at $20, $22 a year ago, and today it's 46, up 100%. Do you think it's going to go up 100% next year? Probably not. So I would be very careful buying at this point. You want to buy it when it's a pullback happens, and We have, you know, you're not seeing one. They just had earnings and it broke out. So you either buy it now and hope that it keeps running up, or in my opinion, it would be something to wait for a pullback. If you're a long-term buyer of Southwest, meaning 5 years or more, you could probably buy it now, ignore it for 5 years, and it'll probably do pretty well. I still don't like airlines, and I told you why. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. Okay, Greece had elections over the weekend, and their far left, I don't know what they call it, Syriza party, took 150 seats. To be a majority, it needs 151. So they had a huge victory there. And their whole platform is, we don't want austerity anymore. We want our free stuff. We don't want to be paying back these loans. We want free stuff. We want lower taxes. Give us stuff. And see, the problem is the Greeks have got drunk on their free stuff. And they kept borrowing money so they can give their citizens free stuff. Sound familiar? You can't do it forever. So what happened is they got so in debt, that they needed a bailout. And they were part of the EU. And probably they should have never let them in the EU in the first place because of their debt problems. But that's another question. And the EU or the ECB and the three groups that bailed them out. Now, Greece doesn't want to pay it back. Remember, they took 60% haircuts on the debt already. Do you remember that? Huge haircuts on the sovereign debt that Greece had. They took a 60%, they meaning the bondholders at the time, took a 60% haircut to restructure their debt. Now they don't want to pay the 40% they agreed to pay. They don't want to do that now. Now, what does this mean for the rest of Europe? Probably very little. What does it mean for Greece? They probably are still going to pay the debt. They probably are still going to look at austerity. But what they're probably going to do is they're going to be a lot of talking and stamping their feet, and they'll probably need renegotiate that debt. That's what I think they're going to do, even though Germany is not going to want to do it. I don't think I would do it either. Look, we bailed you out once. Now we've got to bail you out again? What's wrong with you people? You know, get your act together. But what that is going to mean for markets, stock markets, it could be volatility is what that means. I just don't think... Yeah, it's kind of ho-hum. Do you notice the whole world response was ho-hum? Very different than a few years ago when things were problems with Greek and they had debt issues. Very different. We're just a couple of weeks away from our February 7th, Saturday morning wealth conference. February 7th, Saturday morning, the upside of lower oil prices. It's going to be at the Hyatt House in San Jose. You can sign up. It's easy on investtalk.com.
Annuities, asset allocation, reading stock market trends, building a truly balanced portfolio. If it's important to you and you want to know more about it, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. It's Kyle calling from Raleigh. I listen to you via podcast. I'm trying to say I really love your show. What exactly are market makers and what exactly do they do? Do they just provide liquidity? And if you're a market maker, I mean, how can you lose? Thanks. I look forward to hearing you answer on the next program. Bye.
Okay, good question. What are market makers? And if you're a market maker, how can they lose? And you answered your own question. Market makers do provide liquidity. Okay, let's talk about, let's get down to brass tacks here. A market maker is someone on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Well, they're not so much on the floor anymore, but they used to be. But they're still there, you know, not on the floor. They're on a computer terminal somewhere. And what happens is they will make a market in a stock, and usually they're assigned more than one stock. And this is how you become a member of the New York Stock Exchange, you see. You buy it and have the right to. And what that means when you make a market, let's say you're a market maker for, Microsoft. I don't care. It doesn't matter who they are. First Solar. And you're the market maker for that. What you do is you're the one that watched the trades come in. This is what a market maker used to do. Now we move to electronic trading. duties, there's arguments that really don't need them anymore. And there's a lot of places where they're not used. But a market maker is a guy, a girl, doesn't matter who it is, who takes their orders in. Someone wants to buy a stock. And then they go and see who wants to sell it. And they try to match them up. If there is no liquidity, no one wants to sell it or no one wants to buy it, they have to sell it or buy it to keep the market liquid, to keep it moving, to make sure that things happen. Now, how can they lose? Well, let's say they take ownership of a stock and it keeps going down and down and down and down. They hold on to it. They could lose. Generally, they don't hold on to it very long at all. I mean, they will find that their job is to find a market and to sell it, to move things along. They're just like the gatekeeper. Come on, here, buyer, seller. And sometimes when they take possession, they'll make a few pennies in the transition, and that's what a market maker does. And as I said, this day and age of electronic trading, many people say, why do we need those people? One of the reasons why we need those people is because when the market crashes or gets illiquid, it freezes up, and the prices just collapse. Now you got electronic trading, and then you got the high frequency trading. You got all kinds of things going on that is different than it used to be in the traditional sense. And market makers may not be needed. I don't know. InvestTalk is here to be a ready resource for the average investor. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Give us a call if you'd like to talk. 888-99-CHARTER is my number. If you'd like to learn more, learn your true tolerance for risk, for instance, you can click on the blue box on InvestTalk.com and get a free risk analysis, how much risk you'd like to take. Answer a few questions. You know, just very easy, very quick. Give it a try. It's on our homepage, InvestTalk.com. We'll talk with Harish in Santa Clara next. Then we have time for you.
We're happy to say that thousands click on our podcast every weekday, and you may hear us talk about Steve's book during these podcasts, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. You can see more about it and order it if you'd like in our recommended book section on investtalk.com. I guess no surprise that we'd recommend that one. And there are others there too.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Harish. How are you doing, Harish?
Doing good, Steve. Thank you. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
This is about a mutual fund, a Vanguard mutual fund, VPSNX.
Yes.
This is actually offered as one of the options in my 401k. I currently am, for the last few years, 100% in the U.S. stock market in this 401k. And now that Europe has decided to pump some money into their economy like we have done back in 2009. So I was wondering if this could be a good time to get into this kind of a mutual fund, which has about 50% or so in Europe.
Actually, I think it is. Harish, when everybody doesn't like something, that's when you should start to like it. And, you know, everybody, I do think that their QE, it's going to be $1 trillion, by the way, I think their QE is going to do what our QE did here. And it's not going to help necessarily that much the economy in Europe. It's not going to hurt it. But it will, I think, help the market in Europe. I also think it'll help our market, too. Think about it. You're in Europe, Harish, and you're looking, and you've got the bank is buying all your bonds. I mean, the National Bank, ECB. Is pouring money into the system, buying bonds and things. What are you going to do with that money? The fallacy is that you're going to turn around, you being a business or an individual, whoever, bank, you're going to turn around and just invest in Europe. You may not. You might say, you know what, I still like U.S. because the dollar's getting stronger and the euro's getting weaker. Maybe I'll put my money there. See, so money flows around the world. It goes to wherever it's going to do the best. And so but in answer to your question, I think it will help their market. I think it'll help our market too. Okay?
Okay. And what do you think would be a good percentage getting into this?
How much?
Appropriate. Yeah, what percentage would be appropriate to get into this?
I would say,
that I'm 100% in domestic.
I say around 10%, maybe 15%.
Okay.
That, remember, this is the Vanguard Total International Stock Market Index. So it might not just be 100% in Europe, and it's not 100%. Would you say about 50% or so in Europe?
So
if you bought 10%, you only have 5% exposed to Europe.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, going to 15 is not that big of a deal. That gives you 7.5% exposure to it. And, you know, I think the money is going to help the market. May not help the economy that much, but I think it's going to help the market.
Okay.
Thanks, Harish. Right. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Walt in Berkeley. How you doing, Walt?
I'm doing fine, Steve. How about yourself? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding stock symbol CSIQ, Canadian Solar.
Okay. We talked about solar early on. Or did you hear that call early on?
I'm sorry. Okay. I did not. I just tuned in.
We talked about First Solar, which is fine. And this is Canadian Solar, CSIQ, Canadian manufacturer of Ignite wafers, solar cells, solar modules, and other solar applications. And what I said is that when oil prices are really low, it hurts these kinds of stocks. And the caller was questioning, well, why would oil have anything to do with solar power? Well, it's pretty easy when you use oil, natural gas, home heating oil to heat your house instead of electricity and instead of solar power and instead of, you know, so when prices go down for the traditional energy sources, it's much cheaper. Solar is already kind of expensive. So now it's got to compete with a much cheaper energy. That's what hurt these stocks. But the question you're asking, Walt, is it time to consider these stocks because they've been beaten up so much? And my answer was, yes, I think it is. And I like this company because the growth rate is 80%, sales growth rate. Earnings are going to be up huge this year, not so much next year. 2014 up, 2015 up. But it's going to make $4.29 a share, and here it is, a $20 stock. That's cheap. That's really cheap. So I kind of like it if it – I kind of let it go sideways for a little while, the hold this area for the next couple, 3 weeks, and I'd probably invest in it. This looks like a good one to me. It's a billion-dollar company. Before we close up for the hour, remember, you can sign up now for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference on February 7th, the upside of lower oil prices. We've been talking about it for several weeks now. It's February 7th in San Jose at the Hyatt House. Just go to investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.